Find a cheaper airfare online. Jetstar will beat it by 10% with their price beat guarantee. Conditions apply.
Yeah, welcome to the catch-up for a Monday. Yes, there's going to be an election, but Patrick Condren came on from Channel 7 just to give us what's actually going to be at stake. Power prices could go down if both of them win, apparently. What else you got for me, Marto, Robin?
Oh, we had Pigeon McGrath on. What a treat that was.
And
that
I found out why he was called Pigeon. Thanks very much.
Skinny legs.
Mm. Puffed yeah. out chest. And puffed out chest. And also, where have you seen people being intimate in public? Wasn't that good fun? Bins and roadsides and rollerbladers.
South Bank.
Something for everyone in that segment.
Middle-aged people.
10 o'clock. That was a bit much. Plenty in the catch-up today. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, we're going to deal with the block finale last night. I didn't watch it. You guys are all over it, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Ridiculous money, just remind me.
Oh, yeah. Stupid yep. money.
Okay. Money. So what it showed, was, I was thinking about it, the only couple, so five couples, the only one that wasn't a tradesman was Clint, and they made the least amount of money. All right.
Well,
everyone else had
play,
a trade.
Hang on. As far as I know, what? From Channel 9 promos, he was the best player in the NRL in the past 20 years. Is that correct? Or did he play three games for the Cowboys
one of
when
those
they were in
two.
A low ebb?
Let's talk about that later. I just want to point something out. There was this little story, and I'm not saying you should become a tradesman or whatever, but they're saying that tradesmen are now the elite income earners in so many ways. And there was a couple of comments made over the news on the weekend.
Mate, I've been in the trade for 4 years now. Previously, I was actually working as a teacher.
Righto, there's one. Okay, went from a teacher. I want to highlight this because I went, so as soon as I finished school, I went and did a university degree. Looked around, worked in a gym for a year. It was a Bachelor of Human Movements.
Doesn't that just sound like it's one of
arts,
those degrees?
Arts for sporty types.
No, it's arts. It's arts with push-ups.
Yes, that's a good one. All right, then turn around and then became a tradie because, as this bloke says,
you can earn a lot more money over your life as a tradesman than many other professions.
Hang on, let's not forget that you also left stockbroking.
Yeah, well, that's what I did after I did Human Movements.
But you were still officially, you officially left stockbroking to become a tradesperson. That is true.
Yes.
Which is great.
And you know what? I made more money. Oh, no, the stockbroking, I did that for a year and a bit. That was in a good time where there was money to be made.
Well, so why did you just hated it? You're so agitated. You can't sit still.
I couldn't have been in an office.
No.
Could never have been in an office. Oh, that's all I want to talk about. Did you become a tradie late in life? Like, did you have a go at something and then go and remind everyone? Because Robin, you're a young bloke. He doesn't know what he's doing next year.
No, and I keep saying do something with your hands, mate.
And that's what my young bloke's done too. Well, he's now away, but he had 10 months working hard and found, hey, that's what I want to do. Tell us.
So who's become a tradie a little bit later on in life? We keep hearing about how those jobs are safe, robots can't do them, and also that they're getting paid more and more as the cities expand, particularly in southeast Queensland. Ben's from Capalaba. Benny, came to trades a bit later?
Yeah, sure did. I did retail for 10 years, and I'm now 28 and a first-year electrical apprentice.
Ooh, and how do you like it?
Love it. It's the best thing I've ever done.
Well
Absolutely
done, mate.
Fantastic.
Right, yeah. But you'd be only on $13, $14 an hour?
$18.19.
Oh, that's all right. That's okay. Is that because you're a bit older?
Yeah, mature age, and the government actually gives you some sort of support. So they give you a loan, but it's a hex debt, and they give you a 20% discount on it.
You with a partner or on your own?
With a partner, yeah. Work with a company. Big company, fantastic company.
I meant girlfriend or wife.
Oh, yeah, I've got a fiancée. She's a school teacher, so she kind of makes a few dollars to keep up with.
That's what. Well, it was my wife who supported us while I did my apprenticeship because there's just not enough money. You sort of got to have a bit of backup or live at home, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. You need some support.
Well, you're away. Go well, mate.
Yeah, well done, Dave.
Well done, mate.
Manly.
Hey.
Hey, when did you come to your apprenticeship and what is it?
Electrical as well, last bloke. I started when I was 31, and I'm currently driving towards my final exams as we speak, and I'll be 35 at the end of the year.
Today's your final exam?
Yeah, I've got a week's worth of them, but yeah.
Oh, mate, congratulations first, and good luck.
Cheers.
What were you doing before you started your apprenticeship?
Hospitality.
Until you were 31. God.
Yeah.
Wow. And what made you change?
Standing there polishing cutlery one night, and I looked at my bar manager and that, and went, in 10 years, that's going to be me, and pretty much walked out the door.
Yep, that's great. And now you're on your way. Well done, mate.
Polishing cutlery.
Well, good luck today, Dave.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Bruce of Forest Lake, you may take out the prize here. How old were you when you changed over?
40.
There you go.
All right, you get to 40. What were you doing?
I've worked a lot in the warehousing, in the cabinet making industry and things like that.
Righto. So you had some hand skills.
Yeah, not trade qualified or anything in that, but it just, there was no money in it. I ended up getting to a branch manager in a position in that, so I was only on $40,000 for that.
Mm-hmm.
And went to into a mining industry and doubled the money overnight.
Interesting. Yep. And do you think you should have done it earlier, Bruce, or was it the right time for you?
I wish I had thought about doing it earlier. The money that can be made in it once you trade qualified is fantastic.
Trade qualified.
And do they still need tradies in the mine? Because you hear lots of stuff about them not anymore.
Oh, you yeah, definitely.
Oh, there you
definitely.
Go.
Yeah. There's still opportunities.
Well, you know what, Bruce? Yeah. Grab yourself an Instagram model. You could be on the block next year.
Hey, better still, we got a prize for you for being the oldest transitioner.
Fantastic.
Just for your transition. Bruce, well done. $100 at C&L Tools Megastore in Banyo where you want to buy tools and not talk to one.
What was his name? Are we giving a guy called Bruce a voucher because he's transitioned?
You heard me.
We are so modern.
Give us a ring back tomorrow, Caitlin. What would happen if we were under attack from North Korea right now?
What do you mean, what would happen?
Our Prime Minister would still be asleep.
Well, he's in Israel.
No, our acting Prime Minister.
Oh.
Jay Bish. Julia Bishop. Now, she's in Perth running our country right now. It's too early. See, we're all underway. We've been going for hours. And
she gets
still
up. No. She gets up.
Oh, does she?
Really she early. Because she goes on those death marches really early. And then she'll be up and about, mate. Oh, no, if you rang Julia right now, she'd be up. Definitely.
But they won't make her deputy PM, which I think is a little unfortunate.
She's not a national.
No, I know. Acting. And I didn't realise that not only Barnaby Joyce was the problem, because he's now gone, he was the deputy prime minister, but also the party's deputy leader, Fiona Nash, was also disqualified.
She's gone.
Basically, the Nationals, despite being the country party and being the current party from the bush, have no Australians in it. It's essentially just the united colours of Benetton. No Australians left in the National Party.
Did I see there's no actual, like, because there's no one left, there's no acting deputy prime minister at the moment?
Yeah, well, she's acting.
She's a dictator.
Yeah, she's on her own at the
Kim
top.
Kim Jong Bishop.
I believe she's going around to Ben Cousins' house to see if he can help out. He's got his spare time.
I don't know if the cuz is there, mate. I don't know if he's currently in custody. Is he?
There's more to
love a run
in Australia than
who
those.
Who else is in West Australia? That's all I know.
What about Rose Porteous? Is she still with us? Tell you what, we're coming to that time of year where the words line and length start being said a lot. Mm. And when you say line and length, Marto, who is the first person that jumps into your head?
The pigeon.
The pigeon, Mr. Glenn McGrath. I mean, the hundreds and hundreds of wickets he's taken for Australia. We'll deal with that in a moment.
563 wickets, 124 tests.
You just rattled that off the top of your head.
He can't get enough. Because line
he's
and length.
He's taken more than Nathan Lyon, that's all I know.
Line and length could also refer to your clothing, particularly if you're a big and tall man. Mm. And we know that Johnny Biggs is the place to go for that. And the ambassador for them, and he might even have some vouchers to give away in a moment, is the pigeon himself. Hello, Glenn McGrath.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. I'm such a novice with this stuff, Glenn. Why are you called the pigeon?
Oh, it's, you know, everyone in Australia has to have a nickname, and I didn't really have one when I was playing for New South Wales. And, you know, one of the guys, Brad McNamara, who's a bit of a stalwart for New South Wales, I think most guys know, well, his nickname's Buzzard, but for some reason he was going around there saying there was a pigeon out there that couldn't land, and no one knew what he was talking about. And finally, at the end of the day, he said he thought my legs resembled a pigeon's. You know, they were skinny. Yeah. And a stupid comment like that, and it stuck ever since. So
we love it. Nothing. You can't do anything, but we love it.
Glenn McGrath, you're pushing Johnny Biggs. You're a Johnny Big ambassador for large men. At what size do you become a big fella? Like, when do people start calling you big fella? Is it a height thing or a weight thing, in your opinion?
Well, to me, I'd like to think it's a height thing. I've put on a few kilos since I retired, but not too many. And the thing I like about Johnny Big is it's not just big guys and tall guys. It's also tall guys who aren't that big. You know, they start at 36 waist, which I'm still fitting into. My wife tries to say that you know, I might be struggling a little bit, but it's more the length. You know, 36 leg length is what I am. So
Love that.
That's the problem that I've had with pants. Even when I first started playing for New South Wales, I remember Alan Border was sledging me because my pants
my cricket whites were about three or four inches too short for me. So it's an issue I've always had. But, you know, Johnny Bigg's been brilliant. And the fact my wife is Italian and she loves their gear, you know, it ticks a lot of boxes. So if you're tall and thin or tall and big, it's a perfect stall. They've got great gear for you.
Let's throw it up straight away. 133353. Mr. McGrath, Glennie's got $300 Johnny Bigg vouchers. Now, you've got to be tall. Let's go over 6'4", Marto, and let's give it a weight. Well, let's just go over 6'4". We can deal with the weight later on.
Yeah, so over, what's that, 193 Ks? You got 193 centimetres. You've got to be taller than that.
How tall are you, Glenn?
Oh, I'm only about 196, 197, somewhere around there. So average height.
You can have a
average height.
Johnny Bigg.
Average height. Average height in the NBA.
I am being asked to go to the Ashes for one day with my partner because I don't spend a huge amount of time watching cricket. So he wants me to be there for a whole day. Yes. And I just want to know, which day would you recommend?
Now, we're talking the Gabba test, obviously.
Yep. Yes.
I was going to recommend day three at the Sydney Test for the foundation, but it's always pretty special. I think day one of the first test of the series, you know, Ashes, it's a big series. First day is the one to go to, so definitely recommend day one.
The last day, because then it might be finished early.
No.
Well, if you go day five, which by the sounds of things you're aiming for, you're hoping it's over in day four, by day four.
Hey, let me give you one more, Mr. McGrath, before we let you go. Johnny Bigg, ambassador and cricket legend. Just tell us, who would you bat at six and who would you play at keeper?
Well, yeah, that's the issue at the moment. I think they're the two big holes. I was a little bit disappointed when Peter Neville was replaced.
That's
Wadey, but I think Nev was doing a pretty good job there.
Yep.
And number six, it's a tough one. You know, whether you go for an all-rounder, but the way I'm looking at it this year is Australia's got three quality fast bowlers there. If we keep them on the paddock, throw in Nathan Lyon, we've got enough bowlers there to take 20 wickets. You know, we can get a little bit from a few of the guys. So I'd be looking at a batsman more so than a bowling all-rounder.
Now, you score the third all-time number of ducks in Test cricket.
Don't be like that.
Who were the two worst batsmen than you? Who scored more ducks than you?
Courtney Walsh?
Yeah, well, I played before DRS. So,
they're all going over.
They're
all going over.
High on the pad, it hit me.
That's great.
Yeah, because I'm a bit taller, my pads were longer than normal.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, Peach. That's true. It's Courtney Walsh, isn't it? Courtney Walsh is one.
Courtney.
And then there was the Kiwi. Is it the Kiwi? The other bloke, the bald Kiwi. Can't remember his name.
Chris Martin. I don't think he.
Chris Martin.
I don't know if he played enough tests. Whether Chris Martin did.
Yeah.
He wasn't the world's best batsman.
Might be Shane Watson. Maybe it's Shane Watson.
That's a bit harsh.
We could talk cricket all day, but we can't. Cricket legend, Johnny Bigg ambassador. Pigeon, a pleasure. See you, mate.
No worries. Cheers, guys.
If you are big and tall, so we're talking over 193 centimetres, we want to know what's it like. I know from my own experience, planes are terrible. Buses, Brisbane
Certain
buses.
Cars, too, would be awful.
Well, I can't at the moment. I can't sit in the passenger seat of my wife's car because the baby seat behind...
Oh, you can't go back anymore.
Yeah, I can't go back any further.
Oh, no.
Buying shoes, when you get to size 15 and over, buying shoes is a nightmare.
Yeah, let's hear it. What is your life like? Big and tall. Well, women and men. If you're a very tall woman, let us know as well. Yeah. Let's say over 186 for women.
And
1, 2, 3, 5, 3.
Big-feeted women too.
Yeah, big-feeted women. Lee from Sunnybank Hills. Give us your statistics, Lee. Height and weight, buddy.
Yeah, so 198, which is about 6'6", and about 150, so a little bit overweight these days. But, a bit big. Biggest problem I've got is just things like, you know, sitting in a plane chair in cattle class and, you know, someone turns around and tells you to move your knees. And I don't know where to move.
You've got to take them out of your mouth, Lee. That is
especially, and they try and push back and, you know, you sort of, you know, your knees can't go anywhere.
What about cars, Lee? What do you drive?
Right now, CX-9, but I've driven Prados, stuff like that. Believe it or not, smaller cars have actually got more leg room, so a Honda Jazz or something like that.
Lee, I was going to say, I'm just about to... That's a little secret. When I had my Ford Focus, and there was like when I used to get out of it like a clown car, people would be like, what are you doing in there? And I'd be like, this has the most room. That's so funny, Lee. That's so true.
Like, going looking for a car, you know, like the RAV4s and the Klugers, stuff like that, they just, you can't pull the seat back far enough.
No, that's true.
Well, there you go.
How do you go buying clothes, Lee?
You know, it was funny. You know, growing up, you know, late 70s, 80s as a teenager, you know, virtually my foot's a size 12 only because you couldn't get more than a size 12. So your toes were all crumped up now and all that. But, now you can get bigger shoes. Now, you know, you're suddenly a 14 or something. But, go to Big Guy Shop in the city in Mount Cravat. Go to the big, Johnny Biggs, Garden City. They're good as well. So
stay on the line, Lee. Stay on the line, Lee. You're our type of guy. I think you're going to get yourself a voucher here.
Oh, no, Rudy. You definitely got a voucher.
Rudy from Eaton's Hill. Statistics, please, Rudy.
I'm 2 metres 03 or 6 foot 8 and 120 k's.
You're proper big.
Ooh, you are.
Yeah.
What's the hardest part about being that tall?
I travel a bit with work, so sitting in the little wee Jetstar and Qantas planes.
Jetstar.
That is horrible.
Jetstar, you should be able to lie down in the aisle if you're as tall as you.
Mate, I've got a duck to walk down the aisle and miss the lights to get into the seat.
Yeah. Actually, where's the funniest place you've hit your head? Have you ever hit your head on a fan?
As a 16-year-old, I knocked myself out on a door frame twice, but I was probably pissed both times.
I don't know that's funny, particularly. Yeah, it's funny.
No,
I duck everywhere now automatically, so it's a good learning curve.
Yeah, you learned.
Okay.
Buses. I hit my head on a bus fairly recently. I always forget. Jesus.
The door getting into planes is very low, don't you reckon?
Oh, yeah, you got to cop that. You're going to cop that sometimes.
You could never go camping, really, could you?
Well, no, you'd have to be one of the tent pegs. Glenn is from Corona Downs. Statistics, Glennie.
Yeah, 6 foot eight, 203 also, 130 kilos. Jeez,
okay, how can I ask you? I should have asked all these men. Do you have a wife or girlfriend or partner of some sort?
Yeah, I got a wife and three kids.
Now,
the eldest boy is probably 90 kilos and nearly 6 foot already. And
okay, let me ask you this. There's this thing that tall women always get angry because tall men like us always end up with short women. Is your wife short?
No, not really. She's about 5'10", but shorter than me.
She's shorter than you. That's true. Yes, that is very true.
I do have a friend who is a former Olympian who's 6'4" and her husband is 6'8".
Yeah, well, that's
their children are
breeding
are
program.
Huge.
Loving it.
What sport are they playing, those children?
Basketball.
Well done, Lee, Rudy, Glenn, all heading to johnnybig.com.au. You can check out their summer style guide there. Pick something fancy. You got 100 bucks to spend there.
Summer style guide.
Yeah, I've got a summer style guide.
Is it top pants?
Long pants and helmets. That's what they're going with.
And a lot of airing, I think. And look at their website, right. Triple M.
G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about The Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's The Howie Games and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
The Oils rocked the River Stage 2 weeks ago for Triple M. It's Dream World Monday morning at 7:10. You got Marto, Ed and Robin for breakfast. Doing it for Jetstar.com this morning, Marto.
November 25, there is going to be a state election. Is it going to be all about power prices? In the paper today, there's one of them saying they're going to give you $50 off. So it's vouchers. They're handing out vouchers. But to tell us all about it, Channel 7's chief political reporter, Patrick Condren. Good morning, mate. Come on, give it to us straight. Is this going to be a dull election or a feisty one?
Depends which network you're watching. If it's on Channel 7, it'll be feisty. It'll be knuckled at dawn, ready to go. No, it'll be beyond tedious. It will be boring beyond belief. Neither of these leaders are particularly charismatic.
No, not at all.
It will be a test of bland over blander.
Okay.
Hold on. How dare you? Let's just play a little bit of her last night announcing that she was ready to go.
This is a really important election and I'm asking the people of Queensland to continue to put their trust in me and to deliver the jobs and health and education that we've been fighting
I'm at Airlie Beach. I'm about to go into the water. I don't want to go to sleep and drown. You can't be doing that.
Well, why has she gone up there first thing, Palaszczuk?
Well, this is an LNP seat. It's held by Jason Costigan, and Labor thinks they're a fair chance of winning here. They'll be toddling off to Proserpine a little bit later on, probably later in the morning, and they'll be making some health announcements, I understand. And then we'll be off to the next destination. One of the things about these elections these days is it's referred to the referred to as the Magical Mystery Tour. We don't know where we're going today or where we'll end up tonight. In fact, yesterday was an absolute cracker. The plane was an hour and a half late. They took us to the wrong hotel room and they lost my luggage. So I'm turning my own inside out today.
That's fun.
In an effort to have something fresh against my skin. But it's, you know, campaigns, people don't engage until the last few days of their campaign. So the first 3.5 weeks is all about the leaders and the parties not making any mistakes, not making a goose of themselves in front of the cameras. That's all it's about. One of the highlights is when you blokes get them on the radio.
She won't come on. Patrick, she has. Marto said something. Marto and I said something a couple of years ago. We can't remember what it was. And she refuses to come on this program, which we're very happy about. We're trying to get Nichols to demand Novi to come on as well.
but that's that is an opportunity, you see, to get them to do something, to get outside their focus tested group think. So when you get them on your show and you ask them stuff out of left field that I wouldn't be asking them, that's a godsend to me and to the listeners and to the viewers.
Stuart but apart Jared. From
that, it is so regimented. It is so straight.
No, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Hey, let's...
Paul, what's she doing over in India? Is this going to penalise her?
Well, I don't think it'll penalise her. She's not running in the campaign. Steve Dixon is the leader of the party here. He's up at Budrum.
Right.
And, of course, we've got tinfoil Malcolm Roberts out at Ipswich. He's going to get over 16%. He's
going
to get over a 16% margin to win out there. And I love politicians these days when they say things, and Malcolm Roberts is a prime example. All Queenslanders, you know, and then they give their little spiel. Who are they trying to kid?
No, he's been.
They need to get into the small room with the big mirrors and take a good hard look at
themselves. They won't be doing that. Why the quick turnaround? Why is the election called just so quickly?
Well, it hasn't been quickly if you've been knocking around political circles. This has been the worst kept secret for some weeks, if not months, that she was going to go on either November the 25th or December the 2nd. The election was due to be held in January next year anyway. This gets it out of the way. It suits me down to the ground, so I can have the summer off with the kids on Moreton Island.
Christmas holiday.
See you over there.
They run the risk, some politicians, if they go full term, if they go into... Like, if she went into January, she would run the risk of the LNP making some mileage out of her clinging to power. You know, she's stuck. She's clinging to power. She's not going to let it go. She wants to stay in forever. So, you know, inevitably they go early, and they always manufacture a reason for going early. In this case, it's, you know, Billy Burns' health. And the fact that she punted Rick Williams at Pumicestone out on Friday, having ignored his, you know, his issues for 3 years in an effort to get his vote in the parliament, which was obviously hung.
Patrick.
So they can always make a reason up for going early, but let's get it out of the way, and then we're into fixed terms. We know when it's on. We can book our holiday.
Patrick, have you ever seen a politician wheel their father out as she's about to do, Henry Palaszczuk, for the election?
Well, I got to tell you, Peter Beattie was a prime example. He used to wheel his wife out, his dog out.
We used to
see Rusty at the top of Alden Hill with monotonous regularity, but as soon as he was out of office, Rusty went to the farm.
Too good, mate.
See you, Pat. Patrick Condren, Chief Political Reporter, Channel 7. That's where you want to see all the good stuff. We'll speak to you soon, mate. Thanks.
Cheers.
The block finale was on last night. Marto, I know it's always a bit of a tough day for yourself because it is people who don't know how to renovate doing it in 6 weeks, picking cushions, and then they take home hundreds and thousands of dollars. You and I have both had troubles in the property world, but we have to swallow our pride on these nights and just go, okay, let's see what these people get. Now, this time it was in Melbourne. It was in a suburb, which is basically a beachside suburb of Melbourne. So it's an expensive area and they were big houses. So I was expecting to go for a little bit of money.
Oh, it was a decent area, though.
Yeah, it was good. Good spot.
Yeah, it's near St Kilda. Okay.
And they don't build a lot of new houses around there, if you know what I mean, Robert.
Yeah, but, I mean, apparently Husey bought one of them. Who knew?
Look, Husey did a great job in somehow making it all about him. Well done. Well played to him. I already texted him this morning and said, yeah, well done. So he snagged one of them, but let's go in reverse order. In fifth place was Clinton Hanna. They ended up with $95,000. The poor things. Fourth place was Sticks and Wombat, who ended up with
Australia's favourites.
$130,000. Why are they? Am I meant to like Sticks and Wombat, am I?
No, they're kind of cool. They just don't care.
He's got a beard and he wears a hat.
Yeah, but there was a photo of his son who was equally cute in a flanny and boots. Okay. So
what's that got to do with building a house?
Nothing. But anything to do with building a house?
Yeah, that's true.
And there was Ronnie in Georgia. They got $161,000.
Yeah, wasn't that controversial?
Why was that controversial?
Well, leading up to it, their house was the most sought after with more people going in it. And I think they were quite arrogant. They drew with the winners in terms of the amount of winning rooms. And I think they just thought they were going to nail it. And they didn't. And it nearly got passed in and then, you know. Clearly didn't watch it, did you,
Marta?
Jason,
Sarah.
That's all I'm interested.
They came second with $387,000, so well played to them. I don't even know who they are. Jason,
never heard of them.
Those two that nearly got kicked off.
Oh, yeah,
he's
awful.
See, now you know.
First place was an Instagram person and a tradesman, a young tradesman, and this is the moment.
$447,000. You beauty. Good on you.
So I'll just say it again. Yeah. They picked cushions and
he was a chippy, wasn't he? Was he the bloke with long hair? I saw him once.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They've made $447,000 profit on the house and then $100,000 in prize money. The Instagram model Lisa's also won Lisa's spot on the block. And also, she's now taking over the Today Show, which will be exciting. But she will. And do you think that, Marta, hearing that, $500,000 for a couple of months pretend building work, how does that make you feel, mate?
Shut up. You know how it makes me feel.
We do this every year. This is what we do every single year.
$500,000 on a project a few years ago, and Ed knows that, and he likes to...
You need to finally be happy
for some of these block contestants who don't know what they're doing. You've got amateurs designing things and then building it really quickly. Right.
Okay, but how come you, who has years and years and years of experience, loses $500,000?
I got squeezed by the GFC.
Oh.
But you should have had Sticks and Wombat working with you. People keep asking. The big chat today is that there are $3 million for these houses.
Who's ever here is
why don't they ever have this show in Sydney? Why don't they do it in Sydney? Because they'll get even more in Sydney. House prices are so big in Sydney. Why don't they do it in Sydney? It's always in Melbourne. Why is it in Sydney? Why is it in Sydney? Why isn't it in Sydney? And I always say the same thing. Because if you did this show in Sydney, when you did the auction show, all of the auctions would have to be in Mandarin and none of us would understand.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my Podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Marto, Ed and Robbins, Sports All In.
Right, I want anyone involved in saying that Jinx the Winx was a good idea to apologise.
That was me.
I'm with you.
Why? I thought it was great.
Yeah, but it didn't work, did it?
Well, I learnt a lot about the horse, the fact that she, like you were saying earlier, she doesn't like other horses because she did stay around the outside. And come on, you were screaming for her, weren't you? And didn't you flip between was going on
I'll
Channel
tell you, my
7?
Saturday,
and
then, I went down there. I went down there about just after 3 because I don't have a betting account. I have to make myself go to a TAB, all right? So I went to the Nui Hotel and put my bet on. I put on number 1 was Happy Clapper, put $10, I win on that, and put $10, I win on Royal Symphony, and that was my bet for the day. But just as I was leaving, I noticed the name of Brisbane Race 6, okay? There was a horse in it called St. Hilary, my daughter's name, $10 each way.
And?
Do it.
Well, obviously Winx won and really screwed me there, but let's have a listen to Brisbane Race 6, the concluding stages.
And the 350 is St. Hilary, led by just over 2 lengths.
Now, let's remember it's paying $16.
St. Hilary, Colossomo down the outside, but St. Hilary still just in front. Prolific now lunging. No, St. Hilary.
Did you see your other horse that you love, Who Shot the Barman, one as well?
Oh, you did it?
No, it did. I thought you saw that.
No, I didn't.
Was Horsey McHorseface Rossi?
No, I haven't seen Horsey.
See, maybe Horsey McHorseface should take on Winks.
So I sent that audio to my daughter, Hillary, and she said, I want the money. I said, just take it off the large bill you owe me.
I was going to say. Gee, that is
World
rich
Cup,
coming
rugby
from
rugby league, what caught your eye? Lebanon's victory over France? Was that special?
Well, looked up in a weekend of blowouts, the Samoa-New Zealand game, which I watched almost all of, was really good. I mean, the passion and the fans and everything, I thought it was a really good event. But my computer's just crashed. Do we have anyone who knows my question?
I can answer it.
Robin, did you check it?
Yeah, yeah. So the Manu Civitau, what do you call it? You said it before.
Civitau.
Civitau is a Samoan war dance performed by the Samoan sporting teams before each match. They used to perform something called the Malalulumau, which was not a war chant. But the Samoans have now changed over to the war dance, which uses other things.
I didn't see it. You reckon it's a different one to the rugby? But they advance towards them, threatening to throw spears and stuff?
Yeah. So they've replaced one, which was with the more aggressive one, which they're using for rugby league.
How'd the Kiwi one?
No one can answer the Kiwi one. The Kiwi one was definitely, Marlo, was definitely more aggressive than the Harkers I've previously seen.
Well, I don't know where you'd find a Kiwi in Brisbane, but I'll try to answer it, 133353. But quite simply, there's about the kamata, you know, the kamata, kamata, kura, kura. That's only one little part of New Zealand that represents that Haka, whereas all the little tribes, all the Maori tribes from around the place have all got their different Hakas. So they don't know which one to bloody use. That's why the All Blacks, you know, the one where they finish with the throat slitting?
Yeah, the throat slitting one.
They did that themselves. The team got together and wrote that haka
they
themselves.
They made that one.
Yeah,
well, surely they should do, if they're in a town, they should do the one that's
their haka.
Yeah, that's representative of that local area. Yeah. If that's how it works, I don't know.
Now, anyway, were you surprised Ireland beating Italy?
I was shocked.
It's a real turn up for me. Ruined all my multis.
This is something that we heard about early in the morning, and we decided to sort of bring it forward because it is getting a little bit warmer out there. And we know that when it's sun's out, guns out, well, that's not all you see that's out there. This is in the chat room where you text in something to the Gold Coast Bulletin, they print it to the young lady sunbathing nude at Bud's Beach in a front yard. Cover up. You are embarrassing. Do it in the backyard. That's from RA. Now, I know that we all couldn't disagree with RA more. Those young ladies should be...
What business is it of RA's anyway, for goodness sake?
But is that front yard, backyard, is that...
No, it's not a euphemism.
Geographical. It's
geographical.
Yeah. And it does mean that people are starting to get a bit frisky out there. And they're starting to take what would normally be inside, outside. And we had a call from Darcy from Goodna, who joins us. G'day, Darcy.
Hey, how you going?
Going really well. Now, you've seen a couple being intimate in an unusual place, Darcy. What happened?
Yeah, well, I used to live in Melbourne. Me and a couple of mates decided to go away for a camping trip, so we thought we'd meet up early in the morning, about 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we thought we'd meet at the servo around the corner from my place, get in, pull into the servo, get around the back of the servo, and there's a couple there doing the deed.
Oh, where?
Yeah, just out next to the bins.
Near the dumpsters.
Dumpsters.
Well done. Well, that would give some
off a
leverage.
Servo.
Fill her up, sir.
This is the hard rubbish collection. Wowzers. Das.
You want to know?
He's gone. Now, that's fair enough, too. If you've ever seen, now let's keep it clean. Come on. Let's keep it respectful. But
how are you
going to
keep it clean? What is the question you're going to ask?
Well, have you ever seen people doing intimate things in an unusual / public place?
Yeah. And,
that's the question we're asking.
Mile High Club.
Does
that really happen?
Well, it's bloody obvious if it does.
Come on.
Kids not leaving home until a lot later. I used to see it all the time on a Monday morning, which makes me think of it, at the Normanby Hotel. It'd close about 3:30 or so in that park. I know. The park over the road. Yeah. Mm. It'd be on my pushy, so you could hear things a lot easier. There was a lot of rustling, more than one a weekend on Monday morning.
Nathan's from Mount Tambourine. Mm. Nathan, what did you see and where?
Mate, I went down to Cleveland Point to show my mate at nighttime, and as we drove around near the lighthouse, there was... a couple on the bonnet of a car.
Lovely.
And so all you could see was... the lights sort of went on, and then old mate threw his hand up like a cowboy, and I just laughed, and we just went on our merry way. Oh,
did you toot the horn or make any loud noises? Has
No. We just too much laughter.
Now tell me, Nathan, how long ago was that?
Oh, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you remember it like it was 10 seconds ago, don't you?
Yeah, mate, it's frozen in my mind.
Yeah, that's right.
It's in the bank.
Can't unremember that stuff. Hayden of Narangba. Have you seen it? Where was it?
Yeah, good mate.
Down in Sydney, just off the rocks there in Coogee. A mate and I, we were just exploring around the rocks and, yeah, walked around and saw this couple doing the dirty. Didn't even notice us, so we just backed away slowly.
Yeah.
Oh, what a classy couple of blokes you are. Hey, Hayden?
Got the photos, off we go. Couple of classy blokes.
They should open, you know, they should open a motel on those rocks in Coogee. I know that spot. That is, yeah, that is quite remarkable. Thank you, Hayden.
Okay, Chris, the Fig Tree Pocket, where?
I was working on an apartment at Kangaroo Point with a bunch of tradesmen, and there's this couple on the balcony doing the deed, and one of the female actually looked, smiled, and waved at us. So
She's proud.
She's probably done some Gold Coast 600 work at some stage.
What a romantic day. How long ago was that, Chris?
Mate, that was sort of actually when the Sydney Olympics were on. That's how I remember it. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I'll always remember the Sydney Olympics for that moment.
Come on, like, let's be honest. If you're going to do it in a public place, there must be a part of you that wants to be busted.
Or the thrill.
The thrill of
There's a famous football commentator in Melbourne who used to, you know, drive a friend to various alleyways. The more exposed, the better.
There you go.
Mark is from Cleveland. Mark, where did you see it taking place?
Oh, I didn't really see it. I participated in it.
Okay.
All right. Here he is.
Be proud.
Life's meant to be lived, so live it.
Where was this, Mark?
My ex-wife and I, we in Canberra, we rollerbladed a lot, so on a 12-foot half pipe, we had some fun.
Wow.
You went to the skateboard park and pulled up there and did it?
Yep, why not?
What time of the day?
I was late at night because I shift work, so my day sort of like finished at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night.
That's good.
And then on long trips, you know, you pull over, have a quickie.
How long are we talking? Not like just through the drive-through. This is taking a while.
Yeah, like Sydney, Melbourne or Canberra, Sydney.
What, oh my God! On the tables on the roadside parks,
the bonnet of the car in Canberra.
So you want to be caught, don't you? You do want to be caught if you're doing that, Mark.
Oh, so what?
Everyone's doing
100 k's an hour. What are they going to do?
Do you know what else we just found?
What?
We found the first rollerblader that ever got in the action. Yeah, it's quite
so true.
And Rachel of Logan Lee.
Hi.
Where was it?
Well, somewhere pretty well known, and kids swim there, and it was at South Bank Parkland.
Yep. Yeah, we've heard anecdotally, Marto, have we not, from the lifeguards, that they get there especially early just to clear away the riffraff that's taking part there, Rachel.
Yeah, I was surprised because there were people like 2 metres away, and I'm like, oh, wow.
What time of the day, Rach?
Kids have to swim there, like 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
That's a bit late.
So who were these people? Like, were they like teenagers? Were they young adults?
Were they grunting in English?
They were middle aged. I think they were like getting off on doing it, you know,
middle aged
in front of people.
They weren't backpackers, like unclear of our local customs.
I didn't get that close.
Okay.
Thank you, Rachel.
You've got to make sure you do it between the flags at South Bank. That's all I ask.